The subject of relationships. And what we're doing here is we're just looking at some of the categories of people who have exerted influence upon our lives. Everybody influences somebody, and we're trying to just categorize some people, some categories, if you will, of those that have really impacted us, but turn it around also and say, how would I impact the life of somebody else? Once you learn the principles we're talking about, what does that look like in my life? Who am I exerting good influence upon? So far, we've looked at the men in our lives. We've looked at the moms in our lives. We've looked at the mighty ones last week. The mighty ones are simply the role players. They're the role players that have helped us to get to where we are in life. Usually, you don't know a role player. You know the famous one. You don't know the mighty one, the one who was there every practice, wasn't quite as skilled, didn't get as much money or the prestige, but yet the famous one would not be who they are without him. That makes sense in the world of sports, correct? And I said, all of us at some time in our life are a famous one. Because if you're a parent, you are exerting tremendous influence upon your kids. But who are those people who've helped you to be a parent, who've helped you to be a boss, who have helped you to be an athlete or a musician? We need to stop periodically and say we play both parts. We have a role where we exert great influence on people, but we're also a role player to somebody else. If you're in a marriage, you are role players to each other. Do you realize that? You should. So today we're looking at another category. It's called the memorables. I set this as fourth in our series, knowing that this was going to be Memorial Day weekend. And we want to look at some of the people that have really impacted us where we would say they're memorable. We may not have been around them very long. You can be around somebody for 5 minutes and you remember them the rest of your what? Rest of your life. So we want to think about some of those people who've really impacted us. Now, as we think about Memorial Day, it is the unofficial beginning of what season? Summer. According to what people say, in Michigan, you can now plant what? Your flowers. I did that, I think, this weekend, someday. Yesterday, I think it was, possibly. Or Friday. Friday it was. Got my flowers all in. Now we got rain. I'm good to go until we have about 2 weeks of what? No rain, nothing but heat. Okay? But you can get them in. It's the unofficial day. It's also a federal holiday. So a lot of people have the day off. And you don't have to be a federal worker to have it off. A lot of businesses reorient their calendar so that their employees can have that day off. A lot of schools are prepping to close up. If they haven't already, in the next week or so, most of our school systems will be shut down for the summer. So Memorial Day is a big day, but those are all secular reasons. And we, again, as we talked about earlier, we sometimes just forget what Memorial Day is about. Last week we celebrated what holiday? What was it? Armed Forces Day. And then later in the fall, in November, we have Veterans Day. We have three major holidays. This day we talk about in sense of remembering those who have given their lives. They've fallen in the line of duty, if you will. It began about the 1860s, as so many people in the South, so many people in the North during the Civil War had died. They were looking for a way to honor them. And it was a holiday, was not official, but a lot of different locations around the U.S. began to have little ceremonies to honor their fallen. But it didn't really become an official federal holiday. I didn't realize this until 1971. That's when Memorial Day became an official federal holiday. So here's what one author wrote about Memorial Day. It says, it's the day we pay homage to those who didn't come home. It's a day of solemn contemplation over the cost of freedom. It's a day to pause and reflect upon the many service members who risked and ultimately lost their lives fighting on the behalf of the United States. You and I would say we celebrate Memorial Day. Memorial Day is not a celebration. It's in its truest sense, it's a day of, starts with an M, mourning. It's a time when we stop to reflect in a solemn ceremony those that have died for us. It's a day of national mourning, or always used to be till more recently. If you fly an American flag on Memorial Day, it should be where? Okay, half staff until noon, then it gets raised up. Did you realize there's protocol to our flags that we have? There's a national moment of remembrance on, or tomorrow, Memorial Day, at 3 p.m., where you're asked to spend a minute in silence. Now, for some of us, that's going to kill us, because as we're barbecuing, you may or may not be going to a beach, you're visiting friends, but that's how we honor our servicemen. I've been in Israel during their Memorial Day. The entire nation stops. It's nothing like, you can't even imagine that until you've been there. Everybody stops. If you're driving, everybody in their cars gets out and does this during that moment of silence. We need to have a little more respect, I think, to honor our servicemen. So the least we could do is have a minute of silence and thank God again for them. One of the things that you could do with your family, now I realize we've all got our stuff going on, but as you're traveling, if you see a cemetery, it wouldn't be bad to point out the flags that to our children. It wouldn't be a bad idea to actually go visit your cemetery, wherever you live, and just walk through there and look at the flags and look at the names on the tombstones. Those people are forgotten unless somebody stops to do that. Do you realize that? It's a good way to teach our children, our next generation, about what freedom costs. Or you could watch a video on regarding Normandy Beach over in Europe. Anything we can do to help the next generation to remember the cost of freedom, the price of freedom, is a good moment for our families and for our nation. So keep that thought in mind. So with Memorial Day being what it is, I want to just take the idea of remembering and talk about our fourth group of people called the memorables. Memorable comes from a Latin word that literally means worth remembering. So who in your life, a person, have you met that is what? Worth what? Worth remembering. And the idea of behind the word memorial is not just worth remembering, but it's worth remembering because of a positive influence that they've had upon your life. A lot of us have people that we remember them because they weren't positive, right? But who are the really positive people? It's somebody that may have been unusual, somebody who was special, somebody who was enjoyable, somebody who was impactful. So even now, think about who that would be in your life. Something or someone that's memorable is easy to remember because they've made an impression. There's people in my life that I would consider memorable because they made a large impression in my life. I've told the story before where I took my son to California during his senior year, wanted to just go out there, spend a little time with him. And in the Minneapolis airport, we met Andre the Giant. You never forget somebody that big, okay? Huge, huge. He made a huge impression on me because I was a football coach. I kept thinking, nose guard. He would block the entire line there. But that was a memorable impression. I didn't shake his hand. I saw him. I got close to him. But we had no conversation. But that was 30 years ago, and I still what? Still remember. So here's five categories as they come up on the screen. Think of a song first and foremost that's memorable to you. For me, it could be a music video. It's first thing that came to mind when I put down music was Thriller. Second category, nature. I thought of the Northern Lights. Events, some event that took place, the Twin Towers coming down. Places, now think of all the places I've been. One that stood out to me was Sydney Harbor Bridge. Because Evie, if you look at a picture of it, Evie and I climbed up and over the Sydney Harbor Bridge. Okay, that's another reason it's memorable to me, because we both lived. Okay, people, who are some of the people that you've encountered? Again, I encountered Andre the Giant and others, but this memory that goes back into 1982, I believe it is, so do the math. I'm teaching out east in Boston, and a little pastor about this tall, he had like a three-piece suit. He must have been Scottish or Irish because of the coloring that he had. White hair all the way around, totally bald. He stood there with his Bible and his hat in his hand, just like this. And I was talking with people. One guy came up to me and said, "Could you sign my Bible?" And I went, "Why?" I apparently impressed this guy. So I signed his Bible. Next was the pastor. He'd been waiting in this long line. He never looked up. I said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "Son, put me in my place." He said, "I'm a pastor." And I thought, "Oh no, what have I said?" And he said this, "Everything you taught today is true. I'm teaching on the life of Jesus." He says, "I've never heard any of this before. I graduated from this college. I have a doctorate degree from this." He says, "I know Greek, I know Hebrew. Nobody has ever sat down and taught me how Jesus made disciples." And then he just started tearing up, and tears were streaming down his cheeks. And here's what he said. He said, "This is what I've wanted to know and do all of my life." And then he said these words, "And now I'm too old." So go back to, still makes me tear up, 1982. That was our conversation. He impacted my life to keep doing what I had been trained to do. So for all of you, think of these categories. Can you name something in your mind right now that really stands out to you in the area of music? A song, an artist, a video. Show of hands, anyone? Okay, somebody tell me one. George? Beat It. Okay, anybody else? Song, music, video, what? Yes. By? Okay, go to nature, something in nature. Adam, say it again. Okay, that song, right? Just the idea of nature. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Over here, yes? Okay. Okay, how about an event besides the Twin Towers? Something that took place, you were aware of it, you saw it, you experienced it. Anybody? Reader? And you were Forrest Gump. You're the original Forrest Gump. But you were there. Okay, Reader was there. Okay, another, yes, way in the back, nice and loud. Let's say it again, the? Oh, okay, very good. Okay, third category, of some place you went, it's made a lasting impression on your life. It's memorable to you. Yes, Mary? Glacier National Park, way in the back. Butch. Wow. You're the first person I've ever met that has. Last one. Somebody in your life. You met this person and you've never forgotten them because of the impact they made upon your life. Anyone? Besides mom, besides grandma? Very good. Okay. Somebody else. One other person inspired you. That's it? Yes. Okay. Is he a pastor, speaker? Marriage counselor. Okay. We're talking about memorable people. The people we would lump into this last category, somebody who has made an impact on your life. The word memorable, again, remembers what? Or means what? Worth remembering. So as we think of these categories, we're looking at people. Thinking of people. We're going to approach this through looking at some people in the Bible, what they did that was memorable, and then ask yourself, self, who has been memorable to me in such a way? And then turn around and say, who am I going to be memorable to for the same reason? Apostle Paul wrote these words in Romans and chapter 13 and verse 7. He says, give to everyone what you owe them. As he's talking through Romans, he said, if you owe taxes, you pay what? Because you owe it to them. If revenue of some kind, tariffs and things like that, then revenue. Then he hits the tail end of this. The idea is if you owe them this, you give this to them. So he says, if respect, if you owe somebody respect, then you should what? How many of you have heard this? Well, I'll give them respect if they earn respect. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you give them respect. Well, who might deserve respect in your life? Bible very clearly in the New Testament tells us government officials. I don't like the government. That's not whether you like them or not. It's the position that they what? They hold. Have you all watched these videos on Facebook or these reels somewhere else, social media, and you see a police officer stop a car and he just simply asks them a question. Could I have your driver's license and your proof of insurance? And then the conversation starts and it's negative and the person wants to debate the officer. They're an officer of the law. They've asked you nicely, what are we supposed to do? Give them the respect due their position. And then it goes on, then it says, if respect, then respect. If honor, then what? Honor. Here's several types of people, memorable people we should reflect upon. Many of these types of people have influenced you, and I want you to think about what they've done for you, who it was, and did they do this in your life? Here's the first area. Those who've encouraged you. Have you had anybody encourage you? Yes? Did it make a real difference in your life? And that's the key here. You get people encourage you all the time, but did it really make a difference in your life? Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 27 deals with an encounter between the Apostle Paul as he's starting out and a guy called Barnabas. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. He was an encourager. He's from the Mediterranean island of Cyprus. He encounters Paul. Paul has become a believer. Remember, he's the one that went around, put people in jail, maybe even killed a few Christians. We don't know to what extent. He was not a likable guy. God miraculously saves him. Now he starts going to churches to say, hey, I'm one of you. Do you think they bought into that? Not at all. They wouldn't even let him in. They wouldn't talk to him. They were scared. Some of them probably were angry with him, especially if their relatives had been thrown into jail. Barnabas comes alongside of him, stands up for him. See, Paul wasn't guilty of everything that they were thinking of. Some things, yes. But don't we sometimes, we hear something about somebody and it just colors our whole perspective of the person? Yes or no? Sure we do. Barnabas comes alongside him. God has told Barnabas to be an encourager to Paul. He comes alongside of Paul and he stands with him in front of the church and he helps people, probably did an interview with Paul. They knew Barnabas, the church knew Barnabas, so they said, well, we know you and we only think we know this guy. We'll take your word for him. Will you stand there next to him and be accountable with him? Yeah. It's good to have people who are encouragers in your life, people who see your potential when no one else does. Has that ever taken place for you? They stood up for you, maybe in the sports world, maybe in the business world. They believed in you. There's somebody that has cheered you on as you've attempted to make progress. Has that happened? People who've pointed out life's dangers to you. You may not have what? Listen, but they tried to steer you in the right path. People who patted you on the back when you did something good. Isn't that always nice? Yeah, I like the person who picks you up after you failed. It's always good to get a pat on the back. But when you fail and you don't think you can go on, to have somebody come up alongside of you and say, you can do this. I know you can. And they actually help you. Have you seen the reels, the videos out there where some runner almost to the finish line and he collapses and another runner sacrifices his position where he could have finished to stop and help this person, puts an arm around him and walks the person through. Have you seen those? Don't you want to have that kind of person in your life? Now stop and think of all those things we've just talked about. Who has encouraged you in life? And what have you done to thank them? Many times we don't, because two ships passing in the night. But have you ever thought, this person was really meaningful to me, and you've written them a note, you sent them a text, you've stopped to see them, you've gone out of your way, you've bought them something. Now pause and ask yourself this. Who on planet Earth is going to say that about you? That you've been their what? Encourager. We all have people who are our critics and we remember them. Who would stand up and say, this person has encouraged me to be better, to do better, to think better, etc.? Who's that person in your life? And see, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because of our impact upon their life. And if we're more of a critic, if we're more of a nonverbal person, and we don't display much affection, nobody on this earth's going to remember you for being an encourager. You have to make that step to encourage others. And what will motivate us to do, to be a better encourager, is if we stop to think about who's what. Who has encouraged us in life? So who's been a Barnabas in your life? And to whom will you be a Barnabas? Does that make sense to you? It's pretty simple. If we don't stop to think about that, we won't remember. Here's a second type of person. I love people who encourage. Okay? We all encourage in our own way, but we have to be intentional about it. Here's the second one. Those who've walked with me in the dark. And that's really the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Have you read that? The book of Ruth. It's got some amazing themes in it, but what it's often, when we think about the book of Ruth, we think about a love story. We think about a guy named Boaz and a woman named Ruth. They fall in love. Their ancestral line produces King David and Jesus. Not a bad end of the story. But there's more to the story. In the first chapter, we read about a woman named Naomi, Jewish woman. Her and her husband and her two sons, they have to leave Israel because there's a great famine. Imagine having to leave your home. You just leave it where it is because you can't. The water has run dry. There's no crops to eat. Myers is closed. And you have to leave here and you've got to walk hundreds of miles to another place where the famine has not hit, or at least it's not as bad. You have to leave everything. You have to leave your family. This is it. They go off. They go to this pagan land called Moab to the east. There her husband dies. Well, that's a good start to a story, isn't it? Her two sons marry outside of the faith. And 10 years later, after being there, both of her sons die. She's left with two daughters-in-law who are not Jewish in a pagan land. That's a sad story. That's a sad story. But remember, we're talking about people who've walked with you in the dark times of what? Of life. So who's walked with you as you've gone through things that are somewhat similar? loss of a spouse, loss of a child, loss of a job, having to relocate against, you know, you didn't plan on this, it's forced upon you, losing everything you've got. And who stood where? By you. So they're over in Moab, and Naomi realizes that without a husband in that era, you're out of luck. So she says, I'm going back to my nation, back to my Jewish people, because the famine has ended. I'm going to throw myself at the mercy of my village because I have no one to care for me. And in that culture, if you didn't have a kinfolk living there, no one took you in. But that's her only hope, because nobody here is going to take her in. It's a foreign land, so she heads back. Both daughters-in-law, she says to them, will you... It'd be nice if you'd go with me, but I don't expect you to. You're Moabites. Your kinfolk are here. One of the girls looks at her and says, you're right. If I go there, I'm going to be just like you here. So she decides to stay. The other one's name is Ruth. And Ruth decides she's going to go back with Naomi. And here is one of the most amazing passages in Scripture, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. It totally made sense for Naomi to tell her, stay here because you'll be taken care of. But Ruth says, no, don't tell me to leave. Where you go, I will go. This is quoted in a lot of weddings. And where you stay, I will what? Stay. See, you can see her commitment to Naomi. Your people will be my what? People, and your God my... She says, I'll change my faith because I've seen your God, his influence in your life, and I want to be with you. I want to be like you, and I'll stand with you. Because she knew what Naomi was going back to. There was no hope there unless God came through with a miracle. And she says, I'll walk every step of this journey with you. And then she said, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Ruth, in the darkness of Naomi's life, stayed with her. Says, think of your tough times, and who has been there with you step by step by step by step. They're that committed to you. They're willing to endure hardship with you, and they're not going to abandon you. So you ask yourself, who's walked with me during the tough times? Have I said what to them? Thank you. Have I acknowledged that? Have I let them know how much that has impacted my life? And then the question, you reverse it and say, who will say that of you someday? Because we live in a throwaway world. If circumstances go bad, we just move on. We throw people away. We throw churches away. And people hop from church to church to church. Who will stay there during the tough times because of their faith in you, but also their faith in your what? Your God. Here's a third type of person to think about. It's found in Acts chapter 18, verse 18 through 28, when you read the story. Simple story. Those who have what? Invested in me. In Acts 18, Paul meets this couple. Aquila is the guy. What's his wife's name? Anybody know? Priscilla. He spent time with them. They shared the same type of career, and he invested in them over a period of time, teaching them the Christian faith, teaching them how to teach, teaching them how to stand up in the midst of a pagan world. He invested in them. He spent a year and a half in the city of Corinth, very pagan city, building disciples, and they were his shadows. You understand what a shadow is, right? They learned from his example. They learned from his words. And then they began to do exactly what he did. So you ask yourself, who's invested in your life? As I sat there in my office this week, I thought of family members, teachers, coaches, employers, friends, and others, many others. They taught morality. They taught knowledge, certain knowledge, physical and social skills. Decision-making, finance, who has invested in your what? Your life. Now turn it around and ask the question, what's the question? Whose life have you invested in over a period of time, making them to be better than what they currently are, to be more productive, a better citizen, and we would say a functional Christian who understands their Bible, who's you've mentored, who you've trained to be a teacher, etc. The question always has to be turned around. Who's done it to me, and who will I what? Do it to. Fourth person, John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. Who's pointed me towards Jesus? Stop and think in your own life. If you had to identify two or three people who've helped you deepen that relationship with Jesus, to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus, and to go for Jesus, who would that be? John the Baptist was such a person. He prepared the minds and the hearts of people to turn and repent, to get ready for Jesus. And then when Jesus was near them, he turned to his group of disciples, the people he was investing in, and said, I can only bring you so far. He must increase, I must decrease. And he points them to Jesus. Who has been that person in your life? That you would not be the believer you are without them. And have you stopped to say what? Thank you. And then flip the question around. And what are you going to ask? Who have I done that with? Or who am I doing that with? Or future tense, who will I? That's a question you have to answer someday before the Lord. People have invested in us. Who are we turning around and investing in? When you read this passage in John chapter 1, verse 40 through 42, here's what it says. Andrew, Simon Peter's what? Brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed. They had spent time with John, had been prepared by John, and when there was an opportunity to know Jesus, spend time with Jesus, they went. Why? Because of John the Baptist's influence, for no other reason. It goes on to verse 41. The first thing Andrew did after he had spent time with Jesus was to find his brother Simon, that's Simon Peter, and tell him, we have what? Found the Messiah, meaning that is Christ, and he brought his brother to Jesus. Who was responsible for you having faith today? Mom, grandpa, Sunday school teacher? Some of those people may have passed on, but some of them are very much still with us. And have you ever gone to them and said, thank you for introducing me to Jesus? And then are you doing the same? Are you doing the same? A good lesson can be drawn from here. In all of our religious behavior, okay, you're in church today, you brought Bibles, you pray, you sing song. In all of our banter as we talk about Jesus, whether it's online or it's in person, are we pointing anyone to Jesus or are we simply talking about church? Are we talking about being a Christian or the Christian life? Are we pointing anyone specifically, intentionally, towards that relationship with Jesus? All four of those people, think of the types. First one was a what? Encourager. What's the second? Second one is who has what? Okay, third? Who's walked with you in the dark, invested in us, and who has what? Pointed us. All the people I just mentioned are not superhuman. They're all people just like who? They cared. They cared about people. They cared about God. All of us here have that potential to be an influencer, to be somebody who leaves a little brand or a stamp upon somebody else's life, that where they can turn around and say, because of your name, they did this to me, they can go on and say, I'm going to do this with somebody else. All of them did it because they cared. What helped them to do it? They cared. Do you care enough to say thank you to some of those people in your life? And do you care enough to do what they want? To do what they've done. We're going to conclude this with a 2-minute video. Josh Howerton, have you ever heard of him? Very famous pastor in Texas. Really good communicator. And he's going to talk to you about one of the most memorable people that there, in his mind, that there's ever been in the American church. Okay? A memorable person. This person could be you. Could be you. Listen, well, yeah, listen to this video. Just pay attention to it and ask yourself, could that be me? Could I have this type of an influence? A simple what was he? An usher. Now, I've done this was several years ago. I traced my spiritual heritage from how I got saved. The person that led me to the Lord, or was responsible, the person that led him to the Lord, etc., all the way back to Billy Graham. And from Billy Graham, we just saw it was an usher who helped influence him. He listened to Mordecai Ham, a famous preacher. And my journey goes further back to a guy called Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists that the world's ever seen, right after the Civil War. And that goes back to another guy. We hardly even know his name, but only one recorded listing of his name, George Kimball, who did nothing but sold shoes, who cared enough about Dwight L. Moody as a young boy. He led Dwight to the Lord. And all of that, I tear up when I see this because that's how I got saved, folks. There is a shoe salesman, a nobody, we would say. And there was an usher. Without you, without me, there's no hope for the next generation. We can be spiritually memorable if we, what? If we try. It's more than that, if we care to. All you got to do is care about people and care about God. And you can make a difference. This week, those four categories. Think of the people who've been that person to you, and then write down a note to encourage them, to thank them, to bless them, to pray for them, and then make another list of those people who you are going to do those four things with. Who are you going to encourage this week? Who are you going to invest in? Who's going through a tough time that you can walk alongside of them, and then who can you what? Point to Jesus. Otherwise, why are we here? We're just being religious. All of us have far more potential to be memorable, spiritually memorable in people's lives if we care enough to do something significant, just like an usher. Father, for our people that are here today, I don't know where they are spiritually, only you do. But I pray you would stir somebody's heart so that they would want to make a difference in somebody else's life. That they would be committed to leaving behind a spiritual memory, a spiritual impact in somebody's life. So that the future of Christianity in this area of Michigan would continue. And not shrivel up and die like so many other churches where people just quit caring. May we care enough to get involved and be difference makers. Be memorable and help somebody else to remember us for that impact. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Gary? We're gonna...